Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Tuesday, the 12th of July, Open Championship Week, the greatest show on earth. Before we get there, what have I got? A few admin bits. Ultimate will be adding some bits and pieces this week. Traffic light analysis should go up in the next couple of days. I've got some other analysis stuff I'm going to make a video about and send an email to you. I hope to get that done by Friday. If not, I'll get it done next week. Obviously, we've got the first process this week for German Bundesliga 2 as that starts. That will be done Friday. As a norm, the files will be up earlier, but as we always do at this time of season, we just want to check all the numbers, check everything's working right our end. So we'll definitely have all that up by mid-morning on Friday. But obviously it is just the one league. All the files go up, but it is just the one league, and Poisson doesn't start till September. The current Poisson file, I've got a couple of corrections to make to some of the score lines in the new leagues that we've added. I need Alistair's help for that. He is away on holiday, so I'll be doing that next week when he is back, but we'll just get a new one of those uploaded for you. It is only those score lines. Everything else is all right. Oh, and we've added the COVID form for the new leagues, which I'd inadvertently forgotten to shade those. So, but that's been done. Again, had help with that. Thank you. Where else are we? And obviously we've got the testimonials that you did. I'll be drawing that next week after the Open Championship. So I will have a hope to get next week, get into, obviously once the football season started, we've got all these processes sorted. I've got all my data sorted, which has been an absolute mission. I decided to update all my data. I'd been using old league names and things, and I'd been using too many sheets, so I've trimmed it down, gone back, gone through it all to 2017. Anyway, don't want to hear all that. Been doing that. It's been taking me a lot longer than I thought. But I'll have it all ready for next week. So then I will hopefully get back on course with the pods. And I will be looking at Ian's Den before the end of this month. So people who emailed in that, I'll be going through that and sorting a couple of you out. And I will be announcing next week the winner of the testimonial draw. I'll get that done Monday or Tuesday next week. Thank you to everyone who emailed in testimonials, and I will draw one of you out and announce it next week on the podcast. But today is all about, I've done a guest pod that will go up tomorrow. Today is all about the golf, the Open Championship 2022. I dismiss anybody instantly who calls it the British Open. It's just fucking ignorant. Got no time for you. And this year sees us visit St Andrews, the most iconic golf course on the planet, for the greatest golf show on earth. Stick your old garden nursery where the sun don't shine. St Andrews is iconic. It's one of the few places I've stood and felt properly nervous on the first tee. One of the oldest golf courses in the world. They claim that golf was played on that land as far back as the 1500s. Whether that's right or not, obviously can't prove it. But the course as is designed by old Tom Morris in 1895. It's held 28, I think, previous Open Championships. I think this is number 29. Absolute classic course. There's not much they can do with it lengthwise. They've probably got the maximum length. We're only seeing it about literally a smidge 15, 20 yards longer than it played in the last time we were here in 2015. Very exposed, flat golf course. The main threat to the course being the weather. Undulating firm fairways and 112 beautifully placed pot bunkers. As I say, it's a just over 7,300 yards. I think it literally is about 15 yards longer than it was in 2015. Par 72. And another one of its sort of unique quirks, it has 14 double greens. So the greens at St Andrews are absolutely huge. Touch putting will be key this week for the winner. And all the double greens add up to 18. So the second and the 16th share a green, 3 and 15. And they're massive size of football pitches. Slightly different course layout. We have 14 par 4s and only 2 par 3s and 2 par 5s. It is just a golf course filled with iconic shots from the massively wide fairway at the first, where I saw Ian Baker Finch hit it out of bounds left. To anybody who's been there knows how far left that was. That was when he was going through his couldn't hit it phase. Then that leaves you a little pitch over the Swilcombe Burn to the first green. You've obviously got the drive at 17 over the Old Course Hotel, and then the shot into that green avoiding the road and the road hole bunker, or the sands of Nakajima, as it was known as I was growing up, named after the famous Japanese player Tommy Nakajima, who struggled to get out. I think he took four, but I can't remember that off the top of my head. But if you get up against the face in that, it can be a card wrecker. So it's sort of one for the leaders to negotiate come Saturday, Sunday night. You then have the Valley of Sin on 18. Great memories there of Constantino Rocca, who lived all golfing emotions there when he hit a good drive down 18, then duffed his chip. Needed a three to get him to play off with John Daly, duffed his chip into the Valley of Sin, and then hold about a 50-foot putt out of the Valley of Sin to get into that playoff. And then, of course, he went on and lost to John Daly. You have Hell Bunker at 14. There's just plenty for the players to think about, and if the wind blows here, it does put up a bit of a good test. If the wind doesn't blow, you can go low around here, and we've seen winning scores of minus 14, minus 15. I think that's what we're going to be looking at. Something like that this week, given that the fairways will be like runways, the weather we're currently having, and the wind looks pretty similar to last week. It did affect things last week in the Scottish Open. There's quite a significant difference in the morning wave and the afternoon wave, and that's been quite a theme this year. So I think just need to pay a bit of attention to that wind on day one, and see how much it is affecting them. We're talking 15 to 20 mile an hour winds. But if the players can, you know, if it's not horrendous and the players can avoid the bunkers and the gorse bushes that are scattered around, we could be in for a bit of a sort of wedge game battle this week, and putting. The greens are a mix of grasses, fescue, bent, paranoa, a little bit slower than PGA Tour players will be used to. They tend to keep links course greens a bit slower because obviously if the wind blows, then they do become unplayable. So yeah, it's just going to be a fantastic event, whatever happens. I can't wait. I absolutely love it. It's probably my favourite sporting event of the year, I'll be honest. And as it's a major, and it is one of my favourite events, I've done a little bit more digging into the historical stats, you know, which obviously pre-event are key, and they will determine my own in-play moves. And just before that, talking of in-play moves, we had a good week again last week. I didn't have anything in the Scottish Open, didn't like the look of it, didn't like the look of the weather waves, and I didn't like the prices that we could get on. But I did advise trades on the Friday at the Barbasol, over in the States, and I came out about 97% profit on stakes. I know some of you sat it out for 200% plus, great stuff. You know, and I saw a fair few comments yesterday in the Telegram group. I'm not going to indulge every comment. I just don't have time, particularly when getting ready for the full football season. You know, I'm not going to trade them for you. You're adults, personal responsibility. But if something, you know, the issues around getting prices, when to get out, this, that and the other. Of course, if something as successful as these trades are, you know, I think I've proven to people who've seen them, they are. I'm well into my sort of second year now, five-figure profits doing what I'm doing. And you then post them for free to help people. Prices will obviously move on that initial spurt as people dive in with that little bit of FOMO. More often than not, the prices do rebound. You know, and reading statements like there's only XYZ up at a price is frankly nonsense. You know, these markets, they're the same as any other market. If I want to back a goal on 25 minutes in the first half and there's 2.02 up there as an example on 20-25 minutes, and I can only see 300 quid but I want a grand on, I don't go, well, I can't get on. You know, I'd put 500 quid in, I'd mop that £300 up. Someone else would then see that somebody wants to back at 202. They take in the opposing view to me and they'll mop my money up, probably offer more, and then I can drip mine in and get a grand on. I do this hundreds of times at work. It's how the markets work. You know, it's what I say about automation and watching markets. I think when I'm doing that, I'm on at the right price. Others are taking a opposing view and are offering their money to the market. Not every available pound is just sat there waiting, and that is it. The markets respond to demand. And sometimes the best way to get matched is to put a big stake bet in, and you draw out those with an opposing view. What I'll also add to that for this last 2 weeks, to put a bit more sort of meat on the bones of the chat in the room, the last 2 weeks and this week are poor weeks for PGA Tour events. The John Deere's the week after the US Open, one of the weakest fields. Players take the week off usually after the US Open for the run of big events that they've had now, Scottish Open, Open, etc. The Barbasol last week is up against the now co-sanctioned Scottish Open. So we had 14 of the top 15 in the world in Scotland last week. Obviously that weakens that. And the Barracuda this week is up against the greatest golf tournament on the planet at the most iconic golf course in the world. So I expect that that will take a bit of a mashing. With that last week, we also had, you know, and I think I did hint to this in the room. I'll be honest, I'm Excel blind. I can't remember what I put where, but we had weather delays and rounds not finished on the days they should have been. So the whole market was a bit of a mess. You know, it was a bit gappy because obviously play hadn't finished. The Scottish Open was going on. You know, normally you've got the Scottish Open finishes, the Gulf Overseas starts, and it's a natural flow. We didn't have that last week with the stop start in the Barbasol. But it still turned out nice for us. And I'll be frank, unless you're an idiot, if you couldn't make 50% last week, then as the saying goes, you are doing it wrong. The whole idea to post them free was just to enable people to learn, to trade in a fairly easy way in a slow-moving market. You know, it's a really simple trade to execute. So, yeah, I can't do any more. That's it. Perhaps we should just go, I don't know, £100 a month paid sub, take on 10 people, pay me for the time involved and limit the players. I don't know. I look at things like that and I just can't be bothered, I'll be honest. But there we go. Right. Anyway, back to the Open. I will post my bets Friday. And let's start with past winners and odds. See what we're looking at. So last 10 years we've seen Morikawa last year 42 pre-event, Lowry was 100 pre-event, Molinari was 38 pre-event, Spieth was 17, Stenson was 25, Zach Johnson last time it was here was 150, McIlroy was 19 when he won it, Mickelson was 21 when he won it, Els was 50 when he won it, and Darren Clark was 300. So in the last 10 playings of this, we've only seen two sub-20 winners pre-event. McIlroy heads the market at 11.5 this year. And the only other player currently under 20 is my nemesis, Xander Schauffele, who won the Travelers in the US. Having criticised him for not being able to win, he won the Travelers in the US a few weeks back, came over to Ireland and won the JP McManus Pro-Am, and then won the Scottish Open last week. And all that said, he won't be winning next week. At St Andrews, with the pot bunkers, for me, driving accuracy plays a big part. Johnson, when he won here, was third in driving accuracy in 2015. Oosthuizen, when he won here in 2010, was first. Woods in 2005 was ninth. Woods in 2000 was seventh. Getting the ball in play here is key. You want to avoid the bunkers at all costs. But I also think that length is a big key, and I think it'll be a big key this week. You know, with the golf equipment, the ball and the clubs are 7 years more evolved. The ball goes further. You've got players bulking up, Bryson style. They're all fitter, stronger. The course is bone dry. Shane Lowry's claimed today that they are the hardest fairways he has ever seen. And by hard, I mean actual texture of them. You know, they're like runways. The ability to smash it over some of the daunting bunkers is a huge asset on this course. You know, they are limited with what they can do here. Faldo and Woods, when they won here, so Faldo, they plotted their way around missing bunkers, and I don't think that that's going to be the way it plays out this week. I do think power is going to play its part in this week's event. Oosthuizen, when he won, was fourth in driving distance. Woods, top driving distance both times he won here. Zach Johnson, fair enough, he was down in 60th in driving distance on his victory, but he did win in a playoff. And Jason Day, who missed out on that playoff, topped the driving distance that week, and he just missed the playoff by a shot. John Daly won here, an absolute boomer. He beat Rocker in a playoff, who could move it out there. Nicholas in the 70s, when he won here, was one of the longest at the time. Seve, when he won here, could get it out there, and obviously had that mercurial touch. And Faldo, you know, is a slight anomaly, wasn't the longest, but he had a game plan like Woods did, just to miss bunkers. And he was machine-like. He was just better than anybody else at the time. But I do think this week that you need to drive the ball really well. Distance and accuracy will be key. And then good wedge play. And I guess a McIlroy will... I don't see any weakness from McIlroy in the driving part. But if he does have one, it'll be the excellent... You know, the touch putting you're going to need. You know, all the last four winners here are also in the top 10 in the putting average. McIlroy's putting can be his weakness at times, so he has putted better this year, but it can be and his wedge play, but I do expect him to be right up there near the top of the driving charts this week. Since 2000, only four players have won the Open without winning in the 12 months before, and we do need, for me, we need Open Championship form. Morikawa was a slight out there last year, winning on his debut. He was the first to do so since Ben Curtis at George's in 2003, and we could say Curtis was a slightly fortunate winner. You know, he got in the... I was there that year. He got in the clubhouse a good 2 hours earlier than the leaders, and Thomas Bjorn performed his antics in the greenside bunker on 16. 12 of the last 16 winners of the Open have finished inside the top six in an Open. You know, experience is key. Once they figure out links golf, they have more of a chance. Mickelson was one who came over here and couldn't get to grasp with it and eventually figured it out and then went on to win, and also featured in what was one of the greatest Opens we've seen, against Stenson, when they went head-to-head and Stenson came out the winner. As I sort of write all this, I'm just convincing myself more that Jordan Spieth is going to have a great week. Past champion, won in the last 12 months, good recent form, 34th in driving distance, 19th in approach, 50 to 125 yards, tied fourth round this course in 2015, only missed the playoff by a shot, top 10 last week at the Scottish Open as a warm-up. It could be a big old week for Jordan this week. The way I bet in play, we're going to have a really good idea of where to go after round one. Only three winners since 2000 have been outside the top 10 after round one. Todd Hamilton up at Troon, Molinari when he won, and Stenson when he won. And the biggest deficit of a winner in that period is five shots back after round one. And when you tie that down a bit more to St Andrews, Johnson after round one was tied second, one shot back. Oosthuizen, when he won, was tied second, two back. Woods, when he won, led by one after the first round. Woods, when he won the time before that, was tied second, one back. Daly, when he won, was tied for the lead. Faldo, when he won, was third, one off the lead. Seve, when he won, was tied fifth, two off the lead. So you can see these guys, all these winners, are up in the top three, four, five after round one. And I'll, you know, put it bluntly, you need to be up there. And it is a tournament tailor-made for the way I bet. You've got to be up and out of the traps fast for me to win round here. Yeah, you watch now. The winner will come from 10 back to sew this up. So let's do the top 10. We've got McIlroy at 11.5, as previously mentioned. Obvious chance. He's too short for me personally. One of the best drivers of the ball the game has seen, but I do think this week it's going to come down to wedges, putting feel as well, and I'm not sure that he's going to string four rounds together where they all click. It's another one I could see him starting well, falling away, and then having a good Sunday. If he gets all four rounds clicking, driving, wedging, putting, he wins this by a streak, and that's probably why he's 11.5. The thing is, more people I think expect that's going to happen than than I do. I just can't see it. Xander Shuffle is 18.5, the four man. Even Sunday had a bit of a wobble before going on to win. You know, the next step up is a major, which he's yet to win. And he has all the, you know, I'm not saying he hasn't got all the attributes. He's ninth in approach, from 125 to 150 yards, seventh from 100 to 125, 13th to 50 to 125 yards. My doubts will linger on him getting it done. And he's, fair play, he's proved me wrong at the Travellers and at the Scottish Open. He's proving he can now win, but winning a major here is a big step up. Winning back-to-back weeks is not easy. And at the price, I'm certainly happy to pass, despite the recent Xander buzz. If he proves me wrong this week, I've got to hold my hands up and say the boy has got the game by the bollocks, but we'll see. Jordan Spieth is 20 next. And I'll be honest, of the top guys in the betting, he is my bet that I would be having pre-event. He is minus 42 at the Open since 2015. 16 shots better than anyone else in that period. He was fourth here last time. He averages more than 2.5 strokes gained on links courses in that period. There's only nine players who average one or more, 1.5 or more in that time. He averages one putt fewer than the field on links setup, 9% better scrambling, 4% more greens hit. I think a remotely on form Spieth here must compete. Won this year. He looks a bit of a trade to nothing for me from the off. I'll be honest, I do expect a big week from Jordan. Rahm is next at 22. Twice an Irish Open winner, so obviously can play links golf. Third at St George's last year. I think, again, he's got a big chance this week if he keeps his head on. You know, one pot, he tends to beat himself. One pot bunker could see him erupt. You know, like McIlroy, one of the best drivers in the game. He's ranked first shot gained off the tee, third in driving distance, but his wedges have been desperate. 174th, 50 to 125 yards. You know, for a guy at the sort of top of the world rankings, it's dreadful. You know, McIlroy's a comparison's 97th, which ain't great. Both of those players, they need to be sharp with the short approach and the flat stick. You know, McIlroy currently, I said he's putting better, he's 34th on average putting this year. Rahm's 144th. I've got no doubt, again, he'll drive the ball well, be up there. Got to keep his head, got to avoid bunkers for certain, this guy, because he will have a head off. But he's just got to wedge and putt better. And if he does, he'll have a big chance. Scheffler next, 22 as well. I think he's actually moved to 21 as I've done this. As I say, week in, week out, you can't rule him out of anything any week. Absolutely fine player. Gritty, head-on, player of the year. Masters winner, second in the US Open. 18th in driving distance. First in greens in regulation. Sixth in 50 to 75 yards. Top 50 in all approach, 50 to 200 yards, whatever way you break them up. Top 50 in putting. Doesn't look remotely scared to win. And got to have a chance. And if he gets away well, he is definitely one to be on trading. If he gets off to a good start on Thursday. Fitzpatrick is next at 24. US Open champion. Top 10 last week. He's down the ranks 98th in driving distance, which may hinder him this week. You know, but be fair to him, you know, brilliant win at the US Open. His game's more than capable of making up for it. He's second in shots gained total, third in shots gained tee to green, third shots gained around the green. Another one, just looking at how the course may play this week, his wedge numbers cause me a bit of concern. He's 134th, 100 to 125 yards, 159th in 50 to 125 yards. When he won the US Open, I said, you know, I said in the couple of weeks before when he was at the Canadian, I said Brookline suited his game perfectly. He'd won there as an amateur. I'm not sure this course is a Fitz course, personally. You know, he's a good player, really improved player, but others are preferred by me pre-off. But let's see how he gets going. Next up is Shane Lowry, who, you know, we've said it all year, playing well without winning. I was a little bit surprised he didn't play last week, actually, in Scotland. I thought he'd play for a warm-up. I do think he can feature this week. He's a wonderful wedge player, really good links wedge player, good putter on these slower greens as well. Obviously a past winner of the title in 2019. His scoring average round St Andrews is a fine 69.26, nearly 3 under par. 19 of his last 21 rounds here are under par. Surely he's got to be a runner this week. And after Spieth, I think he would probably be my next name down on a betting slip pre-event. Can see a bit of Guinness in the claret jug if Shane gets it going. He's just not been getting it across the line. So, you know, well, that'll play on his mind if he is there and he's won again. You know, if you've backed him and he's got a chance of winning, I'd be taking my stake out at the very least, because he hasn't been getting it done. But I can see him having a good week this week. I love watching him play. I love watching Shane Lowry play golf, particularly links golf. One of the few he can play all the shots. Justin Thomas next, 26th. I thought this was a little bit big for him, to be fair. USPGA champ. Without doubt, the best wedge player currently playing in the game, which has got to make him a runner here. 50 to 125 yards, he's ranked first. 100 to 125 yards, he's ranked fourth. He's 14th in driving distance, so all those stats stack up. But he's down at 168th in driving accuracy, and that will need to be better this week, no matter how good his wedges are. Yes, this is a bit more open than a regular tour course that they play, but it's not just a matter of, oh, look at it, it's wide open. You know, if you know anything about golf, particularly around places like this, you've got to hit the ball in the right area of the fairway. So in effect, you're narrowing your target yourself, because you've got to put it in the right area to give you the best shot to the green, to be able to get it close enough to make putts and things. And can JT, with that accuracy figure, do it for 4 days? Remains to be seen. He was miscut last week, plus 10. Not ideally, was on the wrong side of the weather. You know, and that again, as I say, is going to be a key thing this year. To see the draw and then see how that weather affects the draw, particularly after round one. So if you play in the morning on Thursday, you'll play in the afternoon Friday. And if you play in the afternoon Thursday, you'll play in the morning on Friday. And we've seen quite a bit this year of favourable, you know, waves, if you like. The guys last week, I think it was morning, had much better. Thursday morning had it much better than the guys who played Thursday afternoon. I think it was a 3-shot difference on average scores. He's been missing that cut, to be fair. It did mean he got to St Andrews early. He's played a couple of practice rounds with Tiger. And I think playing with Tiger around somewhere like this, and just the knowledge you can gain off him, talking to him about course knowledge and how to play certain holes, probably will have done him good. He's just one for me. You can't write him off, but I do worry whether he can get away with his driving accuracy like that for 4 days with these bunkers waiting to catch your ball. And if you go in them, it's pretty much a drop shot. Cantlay next at 30. He sprung up last week at the end, 69-67 over the weekend. Two of the better weekend rounds to finish tied fourth. Game is definitely coming back to life. I just don't fancy him this week personally. He's not won a major. Dreadful at the USPGA. He's 55th in driving distance, 97th in accuracy, 131st, 50 to 125 yards. I just think all those numbers need to be better than that going into this week. He's a gritty competitor. Well, I say that in the Travelers when he lost a shuffle. He folded like a pack of cards. I thought it would be the other way around, and he just absolutely fell apart. So I quite easily pass over him. You know, I'll look at if he's up there on day one at the price and see what's available and how he's played that first day. But he's one at the minute I'm not overly interested in going into the event. And then completing the top 10 is Cam Smith at 30. And, you know, like Cantlay, shuffle. The next step for this lad is a major. Got to have a chance this week. He's second in to JT in 50 to 125 yards. 16th overall putting. I have no scoring end of the holes, wedges, putting, chipping, scrambling. I have absolutely no issues with whatsoever but he is 104th in driving distance, 142nd in accuracy, and I think that may hurt him this week. Fine player, really rate him. Another one I like watching play. He was top 10 last week, and he's got the game that he can overcome those driving stats. He is so good, really, really good iron and wedge player, good putter. I just do think that whoever wins this week, going back to when I opened and talked about the sort of stats of the players who'd won, I think you've got to be up in the top 5 or 6 driving distance and 5 or 6 driving accuracy this week, and I'm not sure that he's going to find the improvement with the driver to get that from the get-go. Not afraid to win. I'm really interested to see how he goes. So that is the top 10 in the betting, and that brings us to the supporting cast. And if we go back to that stat that we've only got 2 winners under 20 in recent times, the support cast for this week for me looks quite strong. And it will be a case, particularly given the in-play stats I mentioned earlier and the proximity to the lead, after round one, of basically seeing who is up there. And I like how this pans out for me this week, being able to do that. I think it's a really difficult tournament to pick the winner. Spieth, I think, has got a great chance, but you know, even his driving at times can be a little bit erratic. He's certainly not the player he was when he was winning majors. He's getting back there, but he's not where he was, certainly not putting as well. Zalatoris, 34. Without doubt the best player in the majors in the last 12 months without winning one. Proving himself a real gritty competitor. I think he'll be up there again. I just think he's a really, really good player. But what I will say, that I think on huge greens that are a bit slower, his sort of gear stick shift putting action will be put right to the test this week. On huge greens, he missed the cut last week in Scotland, not ideal preparation. But, you know, he's a few shots off being a 3-time major winner in the last 12 months. So, I just like the lad, and I think he's got all the shots. So I'm certainly, you know, one you couldn't say hasn't got a chance and has got to be on the radar. Morikawa next, 36, defending champion. I went to the Open last year, watched him, absolutely mercurial, brilliant, good solid player, fantastic iron player, good wedge player. I just don't think, and I've said it a few times on this pod, I don't think he's been at his best this year, or strung 4 really good rounds together. Again, missed the cut last week. See how he starts, but I don't think he defends this personally this week. I just don't think he's playing well enough. Tommy Fleetwood, 44. Good English hope after Fitzpatrick, probably our main hope. And I think a few do think that if he wins a major, it will be the Open. Runner-up to Lowry in 2019. Since 2017, he's got the 4th best score to par in the Open, minus 13. He's tied 4th last week, so, you know, a good warm-up. He's got a sweep. Again, I'm not sure his driving's good enough around here for 72 holes, but he's a good, solid competitor, so, you know, if Ginn gets off to a good start, certainly think he'll be in the mix. I personally don't think he'll be collecting the claret jug myself. But as I say, good solid competitor. Tyrrell Hatton, 50. See, I found the price disparity between Fleetwood and Hatton. You know, I think they should be wider apart. I think Hatton should be a bit bigger. Many fancy him as a 2-time winner of the Dunhill here. You know, I think they're looking at horses for courses. Couple of issues with that is, firstly, the Dunhill is a multi-course event. I don't think he's playing well enough. He's 24th last week, 56th at the US Open, missed cut at Canadian Open. He is stone cold last, ranked 204th for 50 to 125 yards. This course is playing, you know, vastly differently this week to how it plays in the Dunhill when it can be windy and rainy and cold. You know, you're going to have hot temperatures, runway fairways, bouncy. I can dismiss him quite readily. And I throw in the fact that he's prone to a head off as well, which is not ideal with this place, particularly going to get some dodgy bounces. You might get a good shot, get a ball bounce left in a bunker. I can put a line through Hatton personally. Cue the win now, but I don't think he wins this. Mark Leishman's 130. He lost in the playoff here in 2015. Good links record, and he can surprise off this price. He's not been playing great, but he was in a poor run of form when he came in 2015. He hits it long. He's a good wedge player. Not saying he wins it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him make a good account of himself around here again at a three-figure price. Pretty decent Open Championship player, Leishman. I think slower greens might help him as well. I think that might be one of his assets over here. Tony Finau is 50. He's not 50. He's 50 on the exchange. He's not age 50. Since 2015, he ranks fourth in stroke gains on links courses, and other than Woods and Spieth, is the only player to average total strokes gained links golf of two or more on the field. For those who've played 20 Open Championship rounds or more since 1995, that is some company to be in. Only three of them, Woods, Spieth and Finau, have gained two or more shots on the field out of those who've played 20 rounds. I think Tony has a fair chance this week. I think he is definitely one for the trading radar. I've said on pods leading up to this week that he's been quietly getting better. Drives it well. I do think he's got a really decent chance, but he's always got a squiggle as to whether he can close it out and get it done. So, if you are on him, he's definitely one I would trade. I wouldn't be sitting on a set and forget on Tony Finau personally. If he goes low, get your money out, green it up, whatever. Because he has got a little bit of history in struggling to get it done. But I think he's going to be a decent runner this week. Hideki Matsuyama, 55 on the exchange. Good wedge player. Certainly one I'd like to see how he starts. If he's up there early, maybe one to jump on. Tends to be, when he won the Masters, he hit the front and off he went. But he tends to be recently sort of climbing up leaderboards at weekends. I don't see him winning myself, but he is a good quality player, and I think this course suits him a bit. I don't see him winning, but major winner if he's on for the week. Good wedge player. He's really worked on spinning his wedges. I love his action that he's got on his wedges now. He's worked at that and changed it, and he really does nip them and get some spin on them, which I think can be key this week. So. Yeah, Hideki could give it a good account, one to see how he gets going. Sam Burns, I was licking my lips when he opened with a 67 last week. I thought this could be the boy for the Open, and then he tailed off to finish 66th. As I've said on the pod, I do like this guy. He's won on tour, four or five times. But the step up again in a major winner. I've got others I prefer this week now. He's 145th in driver and accuracy. You could see him in some bunkers. If he is in bunkers, he's 94th in sand saves. The licking the lips ended on the Friday, and again, a watching brief. Let's see how he goes, but I've got others I prefer this week. Homer, 70. Max is turning into a good solid player. He's got all the shots. He's 16th last week. He disappeared after playing last week. He disappeared on one of the days to go and play another 18 at North Berwick up the road. No surprise to see him going well. He's just getting better and better. I can see him up there this week. Not saying he wins it, but again, one I can see up there around the top 10, another potential trader. Solid stats all round. Everything's pretty solid. Driving, putting, approach. It's not standout, but it's all very solid. And he is sixth in 50 to 125 yards. Good account of himself last week, as I say. He's one I said, I think he's a certain sort of top 20 type player that you want to be involved with at the minute. No surprise to see him go. Really like the lad. And I think 70 is a reasonable price. Interested again to see how he gets off. Ryan Fox, 85. Got to include him because he's been playing so well. I personally think this is too short now. I think people have got him at sort of 140s, 150s, backed anti-post a while back. Yes, he's playing well in DP World Tour events. He's the dominant player at that level. But last week in a strong field, it was a bit of a mixed bag. you know, he didn't even look like threatening, and I think that'll be the case this week personally. He does it in a decent way, you know, but there's only two par fives. He's a bit of a par five specialist. He could, of course, feature, but I personally would want the bigger price. If I was on at 140s, 150s, I'd be happy, but certainly not 85. He is one, if he goes well day one, depending on who's around him, that his trading price might hold up, because I just think bigger names will be the movers. So it's one just to have a look at and see how he gets going. But personally, for me, I think he's a bit too short. And I've got to mention him, DeChambeau at 120. You know, if we go out for bomb it and take bunkers out of play, Bryson has to be in the mix. When he started this, you know, he had that winter where he went and put on 2-3 stone, you know, followed my weightlifting muscle program, the FTS, you know, build up some bulk muscle program, and he came out looking like the Hulk, smashing it out the world, went on and won a US Open, just absolutely smashed Torrey Pines to pieces. And when he was doing that at Torrey Pines, I thought, this guy's going to love St Andrews. He can just smash it up over the bunkers, wedge it on, half-decent wedge player. Obviously, since then, we've had injuries. We've had the live furore and just all round not being on his game. You know, another one, he can beat himself a bit. I'm not a fan. You know, his game's derailed a little bit. You know, I guess if he's going to get back in the top, this is a venue that would suit. So I'm just interested to see how he approaches it. I'm interested to see how he plays on Thursday, whether he does take it out and just try and smash it round, how he wedges, how he putts. You know, he's a bit like Rahman Hatton, as in can lose the head and beat himself. But I am just interested at 120, not pre-event, but interested to see how he gets it going. Obviously, if he gets it going and starts smashing it around, that price is going to contract very quickly. So that's sort of all the main protagonists that I'm interested in. So as I say, the standout one for me is Spieth. I think McIlroy's got to put four rounds together, doing everything right. Shuffle, I'm just using my usual dismiss. Rahm, I'm not sure, is regging it well. Scheffler, I always think's got a chance. Fitzpatrick, not for me round here. Lowry, I think, has got a great chance. JT, I just think he's such a good wedge player that you can't write him off. He's got to do it for 4 days, you know, as I say, missed the cut last week. So sort of Spieth, Scheffler, Lowry, Thomas, and Cam Smith are the ones that I would sort of say out of the top 10 in the betting I like. I think Zalatoris will give a good account of himself. Morikawa, no. Fleetwood, maybe. Hatton, no. Leishman, I think, slightly overpriced chance. I think Tony Finau's got a good chance to go well. Want to see how Hideki gets going. Burns, not for me. Homer, I like. And Fox, no. And let's see how DeChambeau gets going. So that's my sort of shortlist radar. Obviously, if none of those are up there after round one, it goes in the bin, and I look at the leaderboard and how people have played at that time. Got two flyers this week. One is Thomas Detry, a scoring record of 71.8 round here. He's lost a playoff for the Scottish Open in 2021. He was top 10 last week. So he can play, you know, he can play well up here. I think 400 is a bit big. And again, you know, 400, he's got a minuscule chance of winning, but it's worth a flyer at 400. And Dean Burmester at 320. Top 10 again last week. A massive big hitter who can take this course on, and he is driving it well at the minute. He has got an underpar scoring average at St Andrews. He's minus 19 round here for the last four competitive rounds he's played. Hits the ball solid, this lad. So I think at 320, Burmester, Detry at 400, you may just get a run for your money. So that is it. That is the Open Championship 2022. I personally cannot wait. I will be watching it. I will have updates on Friday. I'll probably do it Wednesday night at close of play. Obviously, when they're playing this side of it, the Atlantic, they're going to start at 6-7 in the morning, Thursday and Friday. So I will probably wait till close of play Thursday. sit and do my bits, and it may well be sort of by the time I've done all that, it may be 11, 12 that I post on Thursday night. I'm telling you that so you don't get up Friday and go, oh, he's posted the golf, I've missed it again, oh, I'm so unlucky. I'm telling you now, it will probably be going in late on Thursday night. I don't see them, I haven't checked the tee off time, but usually they finish about 9 o'clock on Thursday night. They'll be off again at 6 o'clock Friday morning, so we've only got a small window to run the figures, have a look and put some bets out. Wherever you're doing, enjoy it. It is the finest golf tournament in the world. It's on one of the, well, no, it is the holy grail of golf. Don't let any other idiot tell you any different. Have a lovely week. As I say, I'm back with a guest pod tomorrow. I've already recorded that. I'll publish that in the morning. And we'll get the football season started, answer queries, blah, 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 blah. And hopefully by this time next week, I'm back in a more normal routine. We're getting there, as they say. Arrivederci, have a lovely week.